In our four readings, this Sunday, we again see the themes of Advent being woven together. Isaiah the prophet sees a world that looks like a felled forest. Joan and I were watching last night, watching Lord of the Rings again. We usually watch that every year around this time of year. And of course, one of the things that happens in Lord of the Rings is all the trees are cut down and the earth is ravaged for the sake of profit and for war. And Isaiah sees a world that looks like that, like a felled forest. Israel's royal line, the David's line, King David's line, has been cut down to just a stump. And the crown is gone and the kingdom is shattered. And into that bleakness, Isaiah speaks and says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a tender shoot, almost invisible, pressing up through the dead wood, a Messiah born not in a palace, but in Bethlehem's back stable." And this shoot, Isaiah tells us, is a king who is unlike any ruler that the world has ever known. He writes and says, "He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge." In other words, he's not going to be emotionally swayed in any way. He's going to be making his judgment based on principles of righteousness. And so he judges with justice, and he defends the poor, he judges the wicked, and he brings peace. And Isaiah tells us that this peace even extends to the animal kingdom. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the shepherd, or rather the leopard, with the young goat, and the calf and the lion will play in the fields, and the cow and the bear will graze together. In other words, this king will mend the world, not just manage it. And Psalm 72, which was our second reading, is really a coronation psalm for a king, and it's quite fitting companion with the Isaiah 11 reading. There is no sentimental Christmas card king in Psalm 72. This is a mighty king. And multiple times through the psalm, we get these petitions beginning with the word, may he judge your people with righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass. May he have dominion from sea to sea. May he have pity on the weak and the needy. May prayer be made for him continually, and may his name endure forever. This is the coming Messiah King. A world without exploitation under a righteous king who defends the needy, who crushes oppression, who brings justice as refreshing as rain falling on mown grass. And he makes peace ripple from sea to sea. You may have noticed verse 8, the psalm includes that prayer. May he have dominion from sea to sea, which, as you might know, is Canada's motto. It appears on our coat of arms with the fragment "from sea to sea." And this biblical verse was proposed by Samuel Leonard Tilley, who was one of the fathers of Confederation in 1864, to represent a unified country under God's sovereignty. It also influenced the name of our country, which, as you all know, is not Canada, but is the Dominion of Canada. And he shall have dominion from sea to sea. Sadly, Canadian governments have increasingly acted in rebellion against this prayer and in rebellion against the Most High God, whether we're talking about the mistreatment of First Nations, or the abortion holocaust, or even currently the attempt to potentially criminalize religious texts that guide Christian morality through Bill C-9. And then when we come to the Apostle Paul, the reading from Romans, we hear that the church is the people who live in the future now. If you go to watch sometimes a movie in the movie theater, well, not sometimes, all the time, before the movie comes on, they have these little previews. They're called trailers, right? They're little previews of what an upcoming movie is going to be. And I think what Paul calls us to be in Romans chapter 15, we are trailers of the kingdom of God. We are individually meant to be previews in our own lives and in our own families of what it will be like when the kingdom of God comes. That's why we pray every week in the Lord's Prayer, now actually every day if you pray the daily office, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we are previews of the kingdom, Paul says, by bearing with the weak and building one another up, by welcoming all nationalities to the kingdom, by living as people who embody the future king. We don't wait for Christ's kingdom with our arms crossed. We practice it. We rehearse it. We let his hope shape our character and our priorities and our relationships. And then finally, John the Baptist tells us about this coming king. John is God's alarm clock, and his message is simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wake up, the king is coming. Get the house ready. Clear the clutter. Return to the Lord with all your heart. And John speaks of an axe laid at the root. He speaks of chaff burned away. He speaks of a baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. It's not the fire of destruction or judgment. It's the fire of purification, the fire that restores what is true and consumes everything that cannot enter the kingdom. And so if Isaiah paints hope and Psalm 72 paints the community, Psalm 72 paints the kingdom and Paul paints the community, John the Baptist paints the doorway that we must pass through to enter all of it. And that doorway is repentance, a turning, a reorienting, a clearing of the heart so that there is room for the king. So, what does this mean for us this Advent? Let me leave you with four things. First, Christ comes to stumps. Wherever you feel cut down, hollowed out, barren, expect the shoot of God's life. Christ delights to begin his work in very unlikely places. Christ comes to stumps. Second, Christ comes as king. He doesn't come as a personal assistant to our preferences, but the ruler who brings justice, peace, and righteousness. Thirdly, Christ calls you and I to hope-shaped living. And so let your patience and your welcome and your generosity be a preview of the kingdom. And then fourth, Christ comes with fire. Let his spirit burn away whatever does not belong to the kingdom. Maybe it's resentment or self-righteousness or hidden sin or cynicism, spiritual apathy. Know this, that repentance is not a threat. It is God opening windows in a stale house so that fresh air can come in. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.